Welcome to Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. No better time than during this holiday season to head out to Rockefeller Center Plaza for this on-location edition of the show. That's where I caught up with actor Dan Lauria, who's playing the role of the legendary Green Bay Packers head coach Vince Lombardi in Lombardi, the Broadway play being performed at the Circle in the Square Theater.
Gentlemen, this is a football.
I wasn't married to Vince Lombardi 1 week before I said to myself, Marie Planets, you have made the biggest mistake of your life.
Look, I like Coach Lombardi. I just wanted to get at him.
Nobody's perfect. Some of us strive for it, but nobody, nobody's perfect.
Joining us for this edition of Sports Jam is actor Dan Lauria, who plays Vince Lombardi in Lombardi, the show running on Broadway in the Circle in the Square. Dan, thanks for joining us on Sports Jam.
Doug, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Most people, they still know you as the father on The Wonder Years. Is that okay?
My good friend John Ritter used to say, no actor likes to hang his hat on one hook, but if you do, The Wonder Years is a pretty classy hook, so...
Lombardi on Broadway. This is not a real stretch for you as far as you coached football.
No, I did. I coached at my old high school, Lindenhurst, Long Island. I graduated from college, went to the Marine Corps, and then I went back to my old school and coached two seasons before I went to graduate work at UConn. So
while you're being Lombardi, did it take you back to the days of coaching, obviously?
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many of the kids I coached have come to the play, which is a lot of fun. And then, of course, the guys I played with in high school, a lot of them, we use my performance as a reunion. And the guys I played with at Southern Connecticut have come, too. Kids, we're in our 60s now, but when we're all together, I think we still act like kids. Yeah.
And you were a pretty fair football player yourself, linebacker and center at your high school. Then you went on to Southern Connecticut State University. Tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the things you did on the field as a player.
Well, yeah, I was a pretty good player. I was the captain of my high school team, and my sophomore and junior in high school, we won the Rutgers Cup, and 2 years in a row. And in my junior year, that spring, Coach Lombardi actually presented the cup, so I actually did shake his hand. I didn't say anything, but we were big Lombardi fans then, even before he went to the Packers, because. He was the offensive coordinator of the Giants, and I grew up in a community that was all Irish or Italian, so he was like a hero to us even before he went to Green Bay. After Green Bay, it was like, oh, the best, you know. So, but, you know, I played there, and then in college I made all-conference my junior and senior year. But it was – Southern Connecticut was, AAA.
So being selected for this role of playing Vince Lombardi, one of the most famous figures in the world, whether it be sports or anything else, one of the most recognizable faces, maybe even voices when it comes to this. What a treat, I would imagine, it had to be for you, knowing and even having a chance to shake his hand that you're going to play him.
Oh, yeah, it was a real treat. And the best part for me being an old jock was meeting the former players. I mean, Jim Taylor, whose character is in the play, he was there opening night. Jerry Kramer was there opening night. Big Dave Robinson, his character is also in the play. He's been there a number of times through rehearsal and at opening night. And the coaches that have come, Bill Cowher's been there. Andy Reid's been there. The other night I'm yelling at somebody in the audience because I use them as a locker room, and I'm going, you got to give everything that's in you. And I'm pointing right to Don Shula. I yelled at Don Shula. I did a Gleason. Look for somebody else. And I walked off stage, and I said to Bill Dawes, who plays Horny, I said, I just yelled at Don Shula. And he started laughing. Where is he? Everybody wanted to know. Everybody was peeking out the curtain. But he had a tear in his eye when the show was over.
The lightness, the sound, you have it down really well. And so many people have said that. How difficult was it for you to put yourself into this role and to study the dialect, to study the whole kind of approach of a man who was so intense?
Yeah, you know, I really love to give you one of those actor answers about the research and channeling, but it was one of the easiest things I had to do, and mainly because our producer, Fran Kernzer, and Tony Pontoro was the head of advertising for Bud Light. He's the one who actually arranged this with the NFL and Roger Goodell, and I can't tell you how helpful the NFL has been. They've been terrific. Any footage I want, I have three different versions of Coach Lombardi diagramming the power sweep. Now, you saw the play. In the play, I do like a five-minute, you know, condensed version of the, but for him to diagram the whole play, it's almost a half hour. He goes through each position, how the blocks will be made. But to see that much footage and to study, you can't help but absorb part of it. And he's such a dynamic character. And then the more you talk to the players, you pick up a lot of the little things. Some are explained to the audience, and some are not. Oh, shoot.
You're getting a call from maybe one of the coaches right now. Maybe they want you in the NFL.
I meant to shut that off. I wish. Joe Favorito and I went out to the Giants Stadium last week, and you know, I got to meet Eli Manning, and it was a trip. And it's really a trip, too, when you speak to the coaches, because, like, Coughlin, he came over to be polite, and, you know, he was such a nice man. And then he asked me about Lombardi, and when we really got into it, all of a sudden it was like, I want to know more, I want to know more, you know. They especially want to know that most people think he couldn't coach today, and nobody who played for him will agree that. He was so far ahead of the game. Sonny Jurgensen told us 4 days before he died, Sonny brought Marie to the hospital, and Vince was sketching out the offense he was going to put in for the Redskins, mainly because of Jurgensen's arm. And it was the West Coast offense. It was long before anybody else had drew it up.
Yeah, I would have to think, too, that maybe not the same demeanor, but the same respect and the difference maybe in age with a Dick LeBeau, who mm-hmm. still connects with a young group of players who really play hard for him.
Yeah.
They respected him as a player and now as a coach. So yeah. I don't see why Lombardi might not be able to make that connection with players of today.
Yeah, and well, you know, because of that hard-ass attitude he had and the strict discipline, people think he wouldn't be able to do that today, but again, being ahead of the game, one of the reasons why he left Green Bay, it's a major part of David Marinus's book, When Pride Still Mattered, which our play is based on. Eric Simonson had the monumental task of condensing this 500-page book into this 90-minute play, you see. But David said that he left Green Bay because he knew with the way that the Players Association was going, where the money was coming in from television, that unless he was an owner, he could never have the power over the players. And in Green Bay, he couldn't be an owner because even today it's still a community-owned team, and the Redskins offered him 12% of the team. So regardless of what his salary might have been as a coach, he would have been able to say to the players, hey, I don't care what you're getting paid. I own the team. And he knew where it was going. And I think that's one of the problems they have in a lot of sports today where, you know, the manager, the coach is getting paid so much less than the player. The owners are sitting there going, what do we spend all this money for? Well, I don't think Lombardi would have ever had to worry about that. But again, being ahead of the game, he saw where it was going.
Well, being that we are a New Jersey radio station, he had many successes in his early days with high school football.
Yeah.
And you bring it out in the show.
Very, very important part of his life. He was 10 years coach at St. Cecilia's, held a record for the most consecutive wins before he moved on. And the thing he was most proud of, and this was before he ever won a championship, Fordham University gave his old alma mater, gave him an award for Teacher of the Year. And he never, ever referred to himself as a coach. He always referred to himself as a teacher. And that comes from that Jersey background and working with those kids. Now, he always felt the best teacher he had, as far as coaching goes, was Red Blake at Army. But the value of working with those young people at St. Cecilia's and motivating them, you know, that was the foundation of what became the great Lombardi, you know. So he owes a lot to Jersey.
We're speaking with Dan Laurie on Sports Jam, who is the star of Lombardi, plays Vince Lombardi in the show, obviously. Jim Taylor is really the person who is the negotiator, who we get a chance to see, really somebody who starts to deal with an agent and
yeah.
starts to try to learn about the business, and that is a big clash with Vince Lombardi. What were Jim Taylor's thoughts when he saw this show?
Well, you know, Jim was surprised that we didn't have the Jim Ringo story. And Jim Ringo was the center, all pro, had won two championships, and then brought an agent in, and Lombardi traded him. That's true. It also, Lombardi also got two very good players for him in a draft choice, so it's not just the anger. But Jim Taylor was the one who was the first one to get away with having an agent. And that's Lombardi had to realize these players, the players are right. Money's starting to come in from television. And they saw, Jim Taylor saw what these rookies and draftees out of college were getting. And, well, he stood up to him. And, you know, ironically, when Jim Taylor, he was the first one of that group inducted into Hall of Fame. And he asked Marie Lombardi to do the introduction. And one of her first sentences was, there's only two people in this world that weren't afraid of Vince Lombardi. It was me and Jim Taylor.
And we see the very much of this show deals with the relationship between Marie and Vince. Yeah. And Judith Light is absolutely spectacular as Marie.
People ask me what it's like to be married to the most famous football coach in the world. I tell them when the Packers are winning, it's easy. But when they lose, watch out. Well, let's put it this way. Vince has this thing he says. Show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. Got it?
Yeah, she's wonderful, and I take a lot of pride in this. They asked me for a short list, and Judith was first on my list. And Tommy Kailer is a great director, directed In the Heights. Great, I think he's the best young director on Broadway. Judith didn't even leave the room. I mean, we auditioned a lot of big names, some of them excellent auditions. And ironically, the one I couldn't be there for because I was working was Judith. But they didn't even tell Judith to go home. They just said, wait in the outer office. They called me and said, we're offering her now. We're not even calling her. We're going to tell her you got it. So they called her back in, and they put me on the phone and said, you got it. You know.
Why was she on your short list?
Well, I've known Judith for 30 years. Maybe I shouldn't say this on the air, but I was her pimp in 1980 on One Life to Live. She always says, make sure you add that One Life to Live, you know. So, yeah, on Karen Wallach, she won two Daytime Emmys. And I was Gus the Killer Pimp. So I've known her for 30 years. She was always a hard worker, still is, still the hardest working actress I know. But more than that, she's so nice. The four young guys in her play call her mom. You know, she's just the best.
Now, the relationship between the two, Marie and Vince, is a strange one. I mean, I guess it's one that many wives had to deal with. Yeah. When somebody's so obsessed with something. When the Miracle movie came out with Herb Brooks and his wife, I kind of draw a little comparison there that she was, you know, he was so involved in the team, sure. Much like Vince is, yet she had so much power when it comes to dealing with that team that a lot of people who haven't seen the play would never know.
Oh, yeah. Thing in our play where the young reporter says, the players tell us that they have to call you when they have to get Vince to calm down. That was very true. Horning told us that sometimes when a coach would get a little too much, they'd go to Horning usually and say, it's time to call Marie. You know, and he would, and she'd like, Vince, come on. You know, she was the one who drew the line in the sand, and that was obvious to almost everybody we talked to. And there's little things in a play that are not explained. I mean, you saw the play, and you saw Judith and I, we locked pinkies a couple of times. Well, Paul Horning was the first one to mention. He mentioned it to Bill Dawes, who went to Louisville, Kentucky, and met him, that whenever they were in public, and if Vince started a rant or get upset, she'd hold up her pinky, and he'd lock pinky, and he'd calm down right away. That was a sign like, Vince, watch yourself. And I mentioned that to Sonny Jurgensen. I had dinner with him and Sam Huff, and jokingly. And Sonny looked at me and said, it was a little more than that, Dan. I said, what do you mean? He says, when Coach was dying, Sonny would bring Marie to the hospital. It was either Sonny or Sam always brought her. And as soon as that hospital door opened to the room, Coach saw Marie put up his pinky, and they'd lock pinkies. So Judith and I, we found four places actually in the night where we locked pinkies. And Tommy, our director, said, maybe we should add a line or two. And we said, nah, why don't we just keep it between us? And Tommy, being a great director, he said, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that for the coach. let's do that for the players who knew him. So when Sonny finally came to the play, after the play, his eyes were all welled up. And, you know, I'm walking around like, oh, boy, I must have been great tonight. And I went over and I said, Sonny, I saw you crying. I'm glad you liked it. He goes, oh, I wasn't crying for you. I expected you to be good. I was crying because of Marie. Julie's light was so much. When you guys locked pinkies, that's when he lost it, when they locked the pinkies. So it's little things like that that actors work with, you know.
Football fans, not all of them are emotional. I happen to be really emotional. You know, I got very emotional watching you guys on stage. But football fans, you know, they pride themselves in being tough. You do not have to be a football fan to enjoy this show. No. In fact, it's really about relationships. And so when we see the characters, another thing that really struck me was the likenesses of you as Vince Lombardi. And Bill Dawes is Paul Hornung. I mean, the hair and everything. I mean, truly, the likenesses are incredible in this show.
Yeah, actually, Chris Sullivan, who plays Taylor, is the only one who doesn't look like Taylor. He's a lot taller. Matter of fact, when Jim Taylor met him, said, if I was as tall as you, I'd still be playing. You know? So, but, you know, Rob Riley, who plays Big Dave Robinson. Of course, he's not Big Dave, is Big Dave. He's big. But we do look a little bit like the people we're playing, which helps. You know, it doesn't hurt at all to have a little bit of a resemblance to it.
You got to put a little plug in, Dave Robinson from Penn State, my alma mater. So we'll throw that out there. But this show, yes, and this show is told with only three members of the team.
Yeah.
So that you mentioned Jim Ringo's story is not even part of the show. It makes it difficult, I would think, that you know, you're dealing with the team when you're talking, you're dealing with, but they're not there. How difficult is that on stage?
Well, I like using the audience. And as you've seen, we use Circle in the Square in the complete round. A lot of people go to that theater to use a long thrust. They close off one end. We do it completely like a stadium, and that's a locker room. So I enjoy being. I was the only one who had worked in the round before, so I knew everybody would like it. Just relax. And after a couple of shows, it's going to be very hard when we tour to go back to the proscenium, because we're the freedom of being in the round. We're not really locked into a lot of blocking. I don't have to open up for an audience. We can be more natural. So I enjoy. I enjoy having the audience there. I enjoy looking at the people. You know, if somebody's chewing candy, I yell at them. You know, it's fun.
We're speaking with Dan Lauria on Sports Jam. Has this role changed you in any way?
Not really, because, again, I'd like to give you that actor answer, you know. But my Lombardis are Charles Durning and Jack Klugman, both of which were there opening night. And I'm an actor. You know, and this is, like, I was all excited about getting a play. I took Jack and Charlie out and, you know, to a restaurant. I said, we're celebrating tonight, guys. I got a new play to Broadway. And Charlie looked at me and said, he looks at Jack and says, look, the kid's excited. And Jack says, Dan, it's just another play. Let them get excited. You do your work. I said, that's Lombardi. Do your work. Concentrate on your craft and your art. I think the coach, if I don't know if he would like to play, I think he would. But I think he'd appreciate the effort, and that's what Vince Lombardi was all about. So,
I happened to see you in Value of Names with Jack Klugman at the George Street Playhouse.
Oh, really?
So I know the you know, the rapport that you two have.
Oh, Jack, being on stage with Jack is like playing baseball with Babe Ruth. Lombardi would have loved Jack Klugman. He and Charlie both are just totally dedicated to acting, and I think Coach Lombardi would appreciate that. Jack's the best.
Is this role your best?
Working on it, you know. I found a few things last week. I thought it was pretty good 2 weeks ago, you know, and then I found a few things and kind of reminded me that you never stop working on it. You know, I best is a hard thing for an actor. Again, I'm fortunate I met Charles Durning the first month I came to New York. And, you know, every time I do a play, Charlie... you reminded me of this. Charlie would always come to me and after the play and go, another 20 years, you'll be an actor. And then he saw me and Jack out at George Street. And he goes over to me and goes, all right, another 10 years. And Charlie was 84 at the time. And I looked at him, here's Charles Durning, 3 Oscar nominations, 2 Emmys, 2 Tonys. And I said, are you an actor yet? He goes, I'm getting damn close. That's so best. I don't know. I'm working on it.
I guess when you, just like some people say, if you feel you're the best, then it's over. You know, you always want to strive to be better at what you do. But you're brilliant as Vince Lombardi. You mentioned that you were a Giants fan growing up. When he was a part of the Giants, you mentioned he was a hero to you guys. But for people that weren't around there, in a short time, became this monumental figure.
Yeah, he, you know, when he was with the Giants, he had been with Army under Red Blake for 5 years. So he was known in the New York area. And I think the people around the league respected him. He was the offensive coordinator. They had a damn good offense, the Giants, back then. You know, Whit Gifford and those people, and Alec Webster, and go on and on. And Landry was a defensive coordinator. But really what set Lombardi apart was going to Green Bay. They were 1-10-1, and in 1 year they were 7-5. The next year he played for the championship against the Eagles. It's the only championship game he lost. And they lost because they were 5 yards away from the winning touchdown, and Chuck Bednarik tackled Jim Taylor and set on him. And Lombardi always said that was a good, you know, he always admired good players. But he should have been called. They should have got one more play on it. But that's where he came up with the famous line about, we didn't lose, we just ran out of time. Yeah, and that's where that came from.
And everybody enjoyed that
during the draft.
Now, you said you shook Vince Lombardi's hand, but you never had a chance to really speak with him. Now that you've had a chance to play with him, if you had 5 minutes to sit down with Vince Lombardi, what would you talk about?
I would again, if he could see the game today, I would have asked him how he would have adjusted to it, what he saw. We know about he would have been the first with the West Coast offense. I want to know how he would adjust to these rules. And again, I would ask him about how do you deal with players with these monumental salaries. And I would ask about the injuries. I think this would have really hurt him. To see some of his players with the injuries that they had later on in life, he loved his players. He loved these guys.
Mentioned by Marie in the play.
Oh, yes. And mentioned by everybody who came. Dave Robinson lost his father when he was 15. I mean, he'll have you on the floor laughing with Lombardi stories, but within 5-6 minutes, he's crying. Frank Gifford cried in front of the entire audience at a talkback. You know, they were so close. Frank Gifford was one of his pallbearers. But so his deep love for these players, I think this injury thing, especially these head injuries now, and that we know more about it, I would like to know what he would do about this, you know.
He also had a great rapport, it seems, at an early time with African-American players.
You could do a 90-minute play on what he did for the black players. Dave Robinson, you should have him on your show. Dave is wonderful. But and I didn't notice, there were quotas. There were only 11 blacks allowed on each team. And Dave told us, he says, you know, you hear there were no black quarterbacks. He said, well, there were no black linebackers. And Dave was an All-American defensive end. When he walked on the field, and Lombardi said, you are now a linebacker. Willie Davis, the black defense, Hall of Fame, All-Pro defensive end. He said, Coach, there ain't no black linebackers. And Coach Lombardi said, I didn't draft a black linebacker. I drafted a packer. Okay, Coach. Okay, and that's the way he was. He actually, in a preseason, they used to do their preseason games in cities that wanted franchises. And when the first time as head coach, he went to Atlanta and saw two different buses, one for the blacks, he ordered the team back on the plane, said, we forfeit. Boy, they found a hotel and they got one bus right away. So he was way ahead of his time. He hated any kind of prejudice.
Why was that?
I think because he felt he was held back because he was Italian all his life. He was very progressive in his thinking. There was a gay player on the Packers, and there was one on the Redskins, and he refused to have anybody speak to them in a negative manner. He was a very progressive guy. Just couldn't stand prejudice. Didn't believe this country was about that. Didn't believe the sport would benefit from it, and obviously he was right. So,
as you're talking to me, I'm seeing Lombardi come out sometimes.
Yeah.
I see the grimaces. I see the grins. Was it just natural for you to pick up on that? Because sometimes it was just like, wow, as you're watching the show, you are Lombardi.
Well, again, I had so much help from the NFL, so much footage. And, you know, just being an old football player, I asked for footage I really didn't need. just to watch him. And matter of fact, I have a host series. He had a half-hour show in Green Bay on the fundamentals of football. It's very funny to watch because here's these great athletes like Bart Starr who are props. They don't say anything, but he's demonstrating how a quarterback holds a hand, the center snap. And you realize that, you know, like every year he went through the fundamentals first, you know. And unlike most teams today, he had the smallest playbook. And for a very practical reason, he said, I'd rather have 15 plays that I run every day, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times, than to have 100 plays that I can only run once a week. So he was a perfectionist, and he kept things small and simple. Everybody who played for him said he made the game simple. But, you know, he taught chemistry, physics. This was a very brilliant man, you know.
And the power sweep that you mentioned, since it's probably the most famous play in football, yeah, that led to the first two Super Bowls, yet Jerry Kramer's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I just assumed he was. I thought his book alone would have put him in the Hall of Fame, but he wasn't. But he's done very well. He was there opening night. He was funny. We had a great time with him.
I didn't want to forget the fact that this is kind of told also by the reporter who comes from Life magazine, yeah, and he does a fine job in just kind of filling in the gaps, but yeah, you really feel a connection that is made between the reporter and both Marie and Vince Lombardi. That's really touching how that all comes together.
Yeah. And Keith Nobbs, who plays the reporter, your audience may know him from The Pacific, the Spielberg miniseries that was on. He was... He's the one with the diarrhea, folks. That's the only way I can describe it. But he was in six of them. He's a fine, fine young actor. Really works hard on. And what happened, a very interesting thing happened. We sent a script to Coach Lombardi's daughter and to his son. His daughter was there opening night. The son hasn't come yet because, unfortunately, his wife's not feeling too well. But Vincent's... They did not have the best relationship, and he sent back a beautiful response saying, I've read the play. I have no objection. My mother was the buffer between me and my father on a number of occasions, but I'm glad my character is not in the play. Well, Eric Simonson, our playwright, who's from Steppenwolf, great playwright, he started, all the rewrites started using the young reporter as the son. So you get the feeling of how it was like to be a child in Vince Lombardi's house. They were, like his son said, we were always walking on eggs. We didn't know if he was going to hug you or scream at you. And he was that way on the field. You know, he'd scream at somebody, really, just go after him. And then 5 minutes later, he'd be rubbing his hand over their head. And he said, you know why I yelled at you? Because I think you're the best. You know, he just had that way. And we used the reporter really as the son.
My first response when I turned around to talk to the people that were sitting by me, I said, such a motivator of men, such a love for his players, but yet struggled to have that relationship with his son.
Oh, yes, very hard. Well, every night we hear women in the audience poking their husbands going, you're just like that, you're just like that. I think that's the biggest surprise about the play is how much the women enjoy it.
Yeah, and I think they probably also enjoy the fact that Marie is powerful in this great man's. You know, they always say behind great individuals is the spouse.
Oh yes, and as he was the king of Green Bay, but she was queen. She ran the wives' organizations. The first championship he won, he brought all the wives a beautiful bracelet, and Marie helped design it and everything. And then they won the second one, and he says, oh, we'll get them another bracelet. Marie said, no way, they're all getting mink coats. All the wives got mink coats. I'm not sure what the players got other than the ring, but the wives got a mink coat.
Is there a little love now for the Green Bay Packers for you? Will you watch them now?
Oh, yeah. No, they brought us out to Green Bay. I almost got killed when I said I'm still a Giant fan. I had to put my hands up. We had them first. Yeah. But no, I kind of root for the Packers. Sanchez came to the play. I think he's been there twice. And jokingly, he said they lost to the Packers because they all went to see that damn play. They got motivated. So,
I have to ask you because a fellow and I, as we were leaving the theater, we weren't sure, and you will know the answer to this. Number 51 of the Chicago Bears is mentioned as number 51, but Dick Butkus' name is never mentioned. Is there a reason behind that?
No, we just wanted people to watch the clip that comes in the next scene at the game, and then they realize seeing, I mentioned 51, you get to see him, and 90% of people go, oh, that's Buckus, you know. So
we were wondering, and one guy said, and it kind of made sense to me, he said, I think maybe it was put into play because you weren't really known as the names necessarily back then. You were all part of the team, and maybe that was the point they were trying to get, that everybody realized that was 51, that was Butkus, but it was 51 out there.
Right.
And, you know, and
the 51.
The 51. And earlier in the play, I say to the young reporter, you play, I never forget a number. You know, so, and he, Lombardi always referred to the opposition as the numbers.
Now, I saw on the billboard walking in the city this week that there is the film coming out on HBO, I believe, Lombardi.
Yeah,
will you watch that?
Oh, of course. I'll watch everything I can on Lombardi, you know. I would imagine, I'm looking forward to see what I haven't seen yet. Again, the NFL has been great with sending me everything, and Roger Goodell has been, you know, he brought up a good point. He says everybody, even young kids, know the name because of the trophy, but not everybody knows the man. And the NFL doesn't want him to be forgotten, you know.
As we wrap this up, can you give us a pep talk heading into the Sunday's game?
I don't know about a pep talk, but...
As Lombardi, can you do it for us?
One of the lines during the game is, what the hell is going on out there? You know, that's right off the tapes. Even when I throw the... I don't want to curse on you. When I throw that play down, play that damn game! Grab, grab, grab! You know, that was right off the tapes. Even when he crossed himself. He always said damn, but he wouldn't, you know, he's a very religious man. Went to church every morning. So whenever he took the Lord's name in vain, he'd cross himself, you know. So quite a dynamic character.
And one of the things that I didn't know while watching the show, one of many things that I learned, was how close he came to being a full-time banker.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, back then, I don't know if you've ever met Yogi Berra, but he and Phil Rizzuto used to sell suits at Robert Hall, I think it was. You know, they actually would get a commission for every suit they sell. And Yogi said everybody wanted to buy a suit from a Yankee, so we made more money in selling suits than we did playing ball back then. But a lot of players, a lot of coaches back then, they didn't make very much money. They all had part-time jobs, and he was offered an executive position at the bank. And he seriously considered it because he was tired of being an assistant coach and wanted that head shot and felt he was passed over because of prejudice, because he was Italian. At that time, there were no Italian coaches.
There's really no one that wouldn't enjoy this show. I mean, you don't have to be a sports fan. You don't have to be a Packer fan, that's for sure.
No. I mean, especially the women. They come, Judith Light's performance is great. And it didn't surprise me, but, you know, a lot of the theaters, actors and directors, but especially dancers, that's the hardest life. They have to be as obsessed with success as Lombardi was, with that conditioning and, you know, just keep striving. So you see a lot of dancers out there, which is surprising. I wasn't surprised. Anybody who's dedicated to what they want to do will like to play.
Dan, you've reached the ultimate, in my opinion, when you have performed as Lombardi, and that's playing right now at the Circle in the Square Theater. Just a tremendous performance. Thanks for joining us on Sports, Dan, and keep up the great work with this show.
Thank you, and thanks for coming to play. Really appreciate it.
A big thanks going out to Joe Favorito for his help today with the show. For more information about the play, you can go to LombardiBroadway.com. Sports Jam with Doug Doyle is a WBGO News production. Our executive producer is Thurston Briscoe. You can hear all the Sports Jam with Doug Doyle shows by going to WBGONews.org or find us on iTunes. Until the next session, I'll see you at the game.